All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It is week 13 in the NFL, and this is a week 13 edition of the show. Thank you for joining us coming off the Thanksgiving holiday. And we've got Bucks-Falcons coming up on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Atlanta as the Bucks will try to move things to 9-3 and get even closer. What's getting really, really close now, thanks to the Saints' loss Thursday night to the Cowboys, to an NFC South championship, which the Bucks could mathematically clinch as soon as next week. If they win both of their games, this one versus Atlanta and then again next week, and then on top of that have a couple other things happen, they would clinch. But even if they don't do that, obviously they're in very good shape right now, and a win against Atlanta alone would put them four games ahead with five games to play. So, yeah, if they do beat Atlanta, then we'll start talking about it a little more, but it's getting to the point where we can start looking ahead a little bit to scenarios. We'll just leave it at that for now. So we got that on Sunday at 1, and we're going to talk about it today. Obviously, there's a little bit more than that going on right now, and if you follow the Bucks at all, you already know about the Antonio Brown suspension. Three games, along with safety Mike Edwards, for fake vaccination cards. We're going to talk about that here in a minute, obviously, as it doesn't affect the Bucks this week anyway, or at least not with Antonio Brown, who is probably still going to be out with the heel injury that he is continuing to rehab. But obviously there's greater implications, both on the field and off the field, as well as just societal concerns and things like that that everyone may have, and everyone may have different opinions on. So we'll talk about all that today on the show as well. Look back at the Colts game maybe a little bit if we have time. But either way, thank you for joining us. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform. Like I always say, it's the best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, radio, and to have the privilege of being featured on it and to get in front of all of you guys is definitely a big privilege. I appreciate it from them. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you're looking to buy a car, and I know it's tough out there right now with lots of things, used cars among them as far as the prices and things like that, but you should take a look at Bill Curry Ford, because whether it's used or pre-owned or whether it's brand new, they've got a ton of inventory. They've got a wide variety of price range, too, if you want to go something basic, if you want to get fancy or whatever it is. You can look at all those things over a wide spectrum, and the best place to start is on the website, which I always tell you, BillCurryFord.com. It's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can check out all the inventory there. They've got the completely transparent, no-haggle online pricing, and that's a good place to get started. Of course, you should also go down and check them out a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, and that's where you've got the giant showroom, the giant lot, everything's there. Either way, remember, you get a car at Bill Curry Ford, you get the guarantee. And that, to me, the biggest thing, unlimited, nationwide, lifetime warranty. You have that car that you bought from Bill Curry Ford. It can be a few years later if there's engine trouble. You got the powertrain warranty. You bring it back into the service center, and it's taken care of. Like, you don't have to worry about driving around, and, oh, I heard a noise. Here comes a four-figure repair bill. You're covered. Huge. And that's anything you buy at Bill Curry Ford. So that's the biggest thing. And on top of that, though, you get 10 years roadside assistance. You get free oil changes and service the first year, too. All of it, check it out. Again, BillCurryFord.com, or go see him a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. So let's talk about the Antonio Brown thing for just a second here. And if you didn't, just to catch everybody up on the story, Antonio Brown, Mike Edwards, as well as wide receiver John Franklin III, who was waived in August and isn't with the team anymore, but those three were given a three-game suspension by the NFL, not for being unvaccinated, but for producing fake vaccination cards to try to pass themselves off as vaccinated instead of actually getting the vaccine. This is back in training camp. Since then, according to reports, all three are actually vaccinated. So the story as far as who's vaccinated and who's not is not a story now. It's behind us. This story is about, again, the attempt to deceive, the fake vaccination cards. That was investigated by the NFL after it was reported on by the Tampa Bay Times. And that investigation has led to this suspension, which none of the players are going to fight. All have agreed to take the three games and not appeal. It's very possible it would have been more if they had tried to fight it, but it looks like they reached some sort of agreement. They said, we'll take our three and we'll move on. They'll be eligible to come back for the Carolina game in a few weeks. So This all broke yesterday evening. I was working on this week's show, just a regular old show, and then when this happened, I didn't want to send in the show I had been working on because I didn't talk about this at all. I figured I'd just start it over, and obviously this is the number one thing going on with the team right now, aside from the game in Atlanta on Sunday. So there have been a lot of takes since then. I've heard people saying, oh my God, why doesn't the Times mind their own business? Rick Stroud, who I have known, I've done radio with, he's been a guest on my show, and he's had his own show as well, and does a podcast as well with my good friend Steve Versnick. Big Rick Stroud fan. He was called a parasitic vermin on Twitter, among many other things. I was just reading through the timeline, all because he reported on this story and broke some of this news. And so, before I even get to Antonio Brown, I think I want to address a fundamental issue that goes way over the heads of too many people as far as how media works and how journalism works. Because I've heard this today. It's on Twitter. If you go on Twitter, I've had some friends, Rick Stroud, what's his deal? I'll bet the reporters will feel real good once we lose a couple games because Antonio Brown's not in there, blah, blah, blah. And what are these guys doing? They're just busybodies looking to stir up trouble. They're trying to get clicks, man. Like, that's the narrative. That's what I've heard a bunch of people say. It's just gotcha stuff, you know? That everybody thinks that for some reason Rick Stroud or anybody at the Tampa Bay Times woke up and decided to, like, hey, let me go ahead and see if I can turn the screws on the Bucks and just really hose them over somehow. That is not how journalism works. When you're a reporter, when you are a beat writer, see, people think beat writers because they're associated with the team. This is the beat writer for the Bucks. They think, I think, that means they're supposed to look out for the Bucks. No. When you're a beat writer or any other type of reporter, you are just that. You are a reporter. Your job is to find out things. Your job is not merely to ask questions and wait for answers, although that is part of the job. But your job is to know well enough that even if you ask questions, you may not get an answer or you might get insufficient answers. And it's to keep looking anyway and find out what the truth is. Rick Stroud's job is not, nor is the Tampa Bay Times job, all right? It is not to say, oh man, you know, this could hurt the team. I don't want the Bucks to lose on Sunday. I got to make sure whatever I do, I don't compromise the team. That has nothing to do with what their job is, and they have no role. There is a reason why there's a rule that's no cheering in the press box. Some of you may have heard that. If you're in the media, you know that rule. And I'm a Bucks fan, and you're allowed to be a fan to do what I do because I'm not a journalist. I do a podcast on a fan website, and before that, I did sports talk radio, and that's fine. I've always been very, very clear where I stand, and I've never tried to pretend I wasn't a fan. I've never tried to pretend that I was a journalist. But even so, when I cover the team on site in the press box, for example, the games I've been to where I was working, I didn't wear my Bucks polo shirt that I wear to every single game. And I do wear that when I'm going to a game as a fan. I always do. I always wear a Bucks shirt. Wouldn't wear that during the press box games. Wouldn't wear that in the locker room like some fanboy when I'm in there supposed to be, you know, getting sound clips or whatever it is I'd be doing through my years in radio. You're not a fan when you're in the media. All right? Your job is to report. That goes for Rick Stroud. That goes for Greg Allman, who does a tremendous job covering the Bucks for The Athletic. That goes to any number of other people who have worked for various media organizations and covered the team, period. And I don't think a lot of people get that. It's amazing to me. Like, I really do give too much credit to people in general. I don't mean you individually listening right now. I'm not saying you're not with it. But there's so many people who just don't understand basic things that I used to think almost everybody understood. And I see all these fans on Twitter tweeting at Rick Stroud or at Greg Allman or anybody else, ripping them like it's their fault for reporting on the story. Rick Stroud did some digging. Hey, it didn't hurt, by the way, before I get to Antonio Brown in general. But it didn't hurt the story's cause that a lot of the source of the information is Steven Ruiz, who's a chef or was a chef for Antonio Brown, who got stiffed for $10,000 and didn't get paid. And so, yeah, he's with open arms. Hey, Rick Stroud, everybody, come over. Let's talk. He wanted to talk about the whole thing because he had knowledge of it. And he was a big part of where all this information came from. And that's not anybody's fault but Antonio Brown. Not that I'm saying he should have been able to hide it because there's no excuse for it anyway. But if you are trying to hide something, it's a good idea not to stiff people out of their money. I don't know how many of you guys saw the movie War Dogs with Bradley Cooper and I can't remember the other guys' names. But anyway, it's a movie about these gun runners, and they're doing all this kind of illegal stuff, you know, buying guns illegally, things that have embargoes they're not supposed to buy, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, they stiff one of the guys they used to, like, change the casing that the gun ammunition came in because it was from an illegal country, and they never paid him, and he calls them in, and there's this whole government investigation. They get busted, blah, blah, blah. It kind of reminded me of that. The point is, especially when you're doing illegal things in front of people that you don't know that well and that you're just hiring for a little while, you really need to make sure you pay them the money that they're supposed to get paid so they don't turn around and do something like this. But Antonio Brown has never been some sort of paragon of judgment to begin with, as we knew before he got here anyway. So that leads me to Antonio Brown, because we got this story out here now, and I'm not making any excuse. You know, I'm not going to get into a whole thing about vaccination and stuff like that. By now, everybody should know the science behind it. It's been made very clear, and that's not the point of this. The point of this is Antonio Brown got caught trying to deceive. And that is, again, if he had just not been vaccinated, he could have just not been vaccinated. But now that he's been caught, oh, and by the way, this was funny. This reminded me. So Antonio Brown, he had been trying to find a way to get a fake vaccination card. The personal chef, he had asked that guy to get it. The chef couldn't come up with it, and Brown instead got it from a teammate, according to ESPN's Dan Graziano, who reported on this as well. He said he got a fake vaccine card that he brought to training camp so that he wouldn't have to deal with any of the stuff about being unvaccinated. Then he relented when he was told that he could get in some real trouble for having a fake vaccine card. Then he went and got the actual vaccine. So just to get the timeline and everything, it's not like he's been playing unvaccinated this whole time or anything. Just in fairness to the truth, that's what is being reported as having been what happened. So anyway, the fake vaccine card that he got said it was from Citrus County, first of all, which is a huge red flag, because here's one thing. They've been vaccinating people at the team facilities. In fact, 80% of the players in the NFL that have been vaccinated, and that number is over 90%, but 80% of that 90-something percent, those guys all got vaccinated at team facilities. So I know a lot of people, and me included, thought when I read this story, oh God, I mean, Antonio Brown got caught, but there must be a bunch of these guys trying to pull stuff like this. There's probably no telling how many guys have fake vaccine cards, and I'm sure there are, but at least 80% of them got vaccinated on site, so we know those are legit, the ones that did that, because they're actually doing it in front of people at the team facilities around the league. But still, he got a fake one. It said Citrus County, which not only is not where we are, if you're where the Bucks facility is in Hillsborough County, but no county that borders Hillsborough County is Citrus County. Citrus County is a few counties north. Lovely place. Maybe Antonio Brown was trying to go to Crystal River and get some kayaking in and see some manatees or something like that, and decided on that particular day to try and get vaccinated. Unlikely as that might be, that would have been his, I guess, alibi if he had gotten asked about it. But it's just funny to me when people do fake stuff like this, and like such small things that seem small are actually pretty big. And to miss a detail like that, like if you're going to have a fake card, and I'm not sure where they came from, but I would try and make sure it looked exactly like all the ones that my teammates had that were real and didn't say a county that didn't even border the county that we were in and that you would have no reason to be in whatsoever. Again, unless you're taking a trip or something like that. I'm not ripping Citrus County in any way. It reminds me of, I remember high school. I was not an alcohol guy. I never did drink. I really don't drink now. So I never had a fake ID, but all of my friends did. And I remember one of my buddies, and I was actually texting them earlier because I wanted to tell the story on the show and I wanted to get it straight, and none of us could remember for sure, but I remember one of my buddies had a fake ID that looked so ridiculously fake. It wasn't even close. Like, it was from, like, West Virginia. The picture on it, like, it was a little tiny, tiny picture of his head at the very bottom. Like, you know how the picture is usually centered? This was like the very bottom third is where his head was, and the upper two-thirds were all just like blue background, which didn't even look like the real background. It was like obviously fake. And I remember going to a gas station one night with my buddies, and we were going to try. They wanted to buy a beer or whatever it was. And I remember getting in there, and the guy behind the counter, really, really suspicious right from the start. I mean, we were all in high school, and you know, one of my buddies slaps the fake ID on the counter to try and get the stuff. And this guy at the convenience store, like, reaches under his counter, gets out this really thick, like, giant binder, and, like, slams it down the table, opens it up, and it was just page after page of state IDs. And he was, like, comparing my buddy's fake ID against these, you know, pictures of IDs from different states to try and verify the authenticity of the ID. And it took him, like, you know, 2 or 3 full minutes. If you can imagine, like, that amount of time, all of us just standing there by the counter, and there was, like, 4 or 5 of us. Really awkward, really, really, like, nervous, really weird. And this guy is, like, real. I mean, he might have gotten out, like, a magnifying glass. Like, he was really poring over this ID. And after a couple minutes, he, like, looked up and shut the binder and put it under the counter. Didn't say a word. And just, he green-lighted it. He sold us the beer. And I remember we were stunned. Like, we got the hell out of there. We probably could have beaten Usain Bolt with how fast we got out of there. Because we couldn't. I mean, when he got that binder out, I'm like, dude, this is it. There's no way he's going to do this. We're going to get busted. And it didn't happen. Like, he actually green-lighted it. And we went on our way, and everything was fine. But, I mean, like, it reminds me, like, the obvious fakeness of the ID. And I'm sure the guy knew it was fake. I'm not sure if he was just looking for, like, plausible deniability where he could say he compared it to another one and it looked real so he could cover his ass. Looking back, it's just a really weird story, even still. But it reminded me of that when I saw that Antonio Brown's fake vaccine card was from Citrus County, which immediately right there you would know was fake, especially if you know anything about Antonio Brown and his past. So I'm not going to make any excuses for Antonio Brown. This really isn't even about what you think of him personally, but the next step now is a lot of people are saying, well, he's got to be cut, right? I mean, Bruce Arians said it before the season or before last season when they acquired him, said, well, if he's a model citizen, everything will be fine. If he creates a problem of any kind, then he's out. So if people today are like, well, I guess that's that, right? Now, I know they don't, well, maybe some of them believe that. I don't think y'all are that naive, right? Like, again, I'm not making any excuses for Antonio Brown's behavior, and I'm not saying it's okay. And if you know me or if you follow me on social media, you probably know my thoughts on this stuff already. But even if you don't, you know, I am not one of those type of people, okay? But with that said, the Bucs aren't cutting Antonio Brown. Like, get the hell out of here with that. Like, this is not, and I'm talking strictly from the standpoint of the Bucs. Maybe it looks bad in the media. Maybe it's a headache to deal with for a few days. But in the overall grand scheme of things, if I'm the Bucs, what I do, I let him serve his suspension. I say, well, he was punished. 3 games is a fitting punishment. We believe he made a mistake, and he knows that. And then I wouldn't talk about it anymore, and he'd be back. Now, a lot of you might say, well, Bobby, where's the integrity? And you know what? That's a perfectly valid question. If you want to talk about integrity, there's really only 2 places you can come down here. Either you don't think Antonio Brown should have been on the team to begin with, because if you want to talk about bad things people have done, the stuff Antonio Brown did before all this that we knew about when we signed him is all worse. And again, I'm not excusing the vaccine thing at all. I'm just saying, this isn't what puts it over the top. You either already thought that Antonio Brown shouldn't be on the team, and if you did think it was okay for him to be on the team before this, this shouldn't change anything. That's what I'm saying. Because again, when the Bucs signed him, they knew all about the past. You know, whether it was, what was it? I mean, there was sexual harassment accusations. There was when he threw the sofa or something through a plate glass window from a balcony condo and it landed on the ground like only like 20 feet or something from a kid that was playing outside down there. Could have killed the kid. You know, stuff like that we already knew about. And so this is not the thing. Like what Bruce Arians said about, okay, we'll sign him and if there's a problem, we'll let him go. He meant like a criminal problem. He meant like a violence towards somebody else problem. I mean, I know he didn't say that. This is me putting words in his mouth, but they're not going to cut him for this. And again, if you think they should cut him for this, you probably already thought they should never have signed him, which is, again, a very valid opinion. But if you were okay with already having him, this shouldn't change anything. So you come down on one of those 2 sides, and that's as simple as that. But this is not something where I expect the Bucs, even though I know John Romano has said it, a few other people have said it, my good friend T. Kraz is on record on Twitter saying, oh, they got to cut him. And again, Fine. That's if the Bucks cut him, I won't say boo, okay? But I also don't think anything's different today than it was yesterday as far as what I think of Antonio Brown, okay? And Mike Tomlin said it. Said Steelers coach Mike Tomlin once told his team, according to an ESPN.com report, that he would tolerate Brown only as long as his production exceeded his propensity to find trouble. So at least Mike Tomlin was honest about it. And for a time, they did tolerate until they cut him. The Raiders and the Patriots also used that same scale and also decided to cut him. So if you're the Bucks now, same thing. Very simple calculus. Does this outweigh his production? And so that's a decision the Bucks are going to have to make. I don't think, if you're just looking at it, again, not talking about your personal beliefs or what you think of Antonio Brown, just looking at it strictly from the Bucks standpoint, trying to put myself in their shoes, okay? Do I think this outweighs the production? And not just the production that he offers, but the upsetting of the apple cart, if you will, if they didn't keep him around, because who is fan number one of Antonio Brown as a football player over there at One Buck Place right now? It's Tom Brady, right? This isn't like some move that doesn't have ripple effects with other people. So now you're not only going to cut Antonio Brown and lose his production, which that's one thing, but you're going to piss off a different person who's way, way more important than even Antonio Brown is, and you're going to alienate him. Now, again, I'm not trying to say that right and wrong ceases to exist so we can keep certain people happy. I'm just saying that's what will happen. So if you're the Bucks, you have to consider all that stuff. And maybe you don't care. Maybe you're like, well, screw Antonio Brown. Screw Tom Brady. They should have more integrity. And if that's how you feel, I'm not speaking for Tom Brady. I have no idea how he feels about this, and I have no idea what his thoughts are on this. So I'm not trying to say I know what Tom Brady's thinking. But you know, from a football standpoint, how much he trusts Antonio Brown, how he is his security blanket more so than anybody else in our receiving stable, okay? And I've got a feeling, and this is me saying this, that that's a consideration for the Bucks too, besides just Antonio Brown. Okay, so I don't think the Bucks are going to cut him. I think this story will come and go. However you feel about that, I think that's what will happen. If you have thoughts, I'd love to hear them. You can always email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, BOBBYGAMEDAY @yahoo.com. You can tweet at me or follow me on Twitter, same thing, @BobbyGameDay. I can read emails and stuff on the air if I get ones regarding all types of stuff like this. But, you know, there's a lot of consider. It's easy to sit here and say, oh, yeah, cut him, screw him, he's an idiot. Okay, fine, I'm not defending him. But you got to consider all these different things. And, if Antonio Brown was in the newspaper today because he punched a female or got arrested again or some other thing, that would be different. There are very, very nuanced levels to everything in life. Everything in life is a matter of degree. Almost nothing is black and white. So you say, oh, he got into trouble. Well, wait, what kind of trouble? Is this type of trouble? There's this assault type of trouble? You know, there's different types of trouble. This particular type of trouble, while still bad and while I do not at all support him, is not the kind of trouble he's going to get cut for. Okay? And that's just, to me, something I feel pretty confident in predicting, but maybe I'll be wrong, and if I am, like I said, I won't say boo about it, and I won't have any complaints. With all of that said, let's talk about what actually is going to happen on the field on Sunday. Antonio Brown won't be out there, neither will Mike Edwards, but we got Bucks-Falcons on Sunday at 1 in Atlanta, and what we do have, Carlton Davis is going to be back for the first time, 2 months basically, it was like 2 months almost to the day, after he tore his quad. He will be back. Jamel Dean had a shoulder injury, but he has been practicing this week. He has not been in any type of non-contact jersey. He still could be a game-time decision, according to media who have been there, but it looks like he's been pretty okay. So this could be the first time since opening night the Bucs have had the top three members of their secondary of Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, and of course Sean Murphy Bunting are all good to go, and it looks like there's a very good chance they will be. Now, how much they play, Carlton Davis said he's good to go. He said 75 snaps, I can go the whole way, whatever it ends up being. We'll see if they ease him back in or not. And if they do use everybody in their traditional roles, as if everybody is 100%, that would put SMB back to nickel. But again, we don't know for, how many plays everybody's going to play or if it's going to be a normal rotation. Even still, very welcome to see that. That would be very big for the Bucks. And this is against a Falcons team, by the way, that you got, actually, not just the Falcons, the whole rest of the season. The Bucs have 6 games left. 4 of those are against teams that are in the top 3 of interceptions thrown, which includes the Falcons, who are in the top 3. Also Carolina, who they play twice more, and the Jets. So to have a full, healthy secondary, to be able to feast on the soft underbelly of all these pick-throwing teams would be really nice, and hopefully we can get go a long way to starting that on Sunday against Atlanta. Ali Marpet, they've been listing him on the injury report as limited participation. Greg Allman of The Athletic has been reporting that he looks totally fine and normal out there for the parts of practice that he's been able to see, so officially we're still waiting, but Marpet should be good to go. And so overall, things are looking up on the injury front. And like I said, when you're going to have all these bad things happen injury-wise, obviously you'd rather have them happen earlier in the year and give guys time to recover. Hopefully we don't have any more of these things and the Bucs can just do their thing. And they should be in good shape as an 11-point favorite against the Falcons. A couple stats that are big in their favor. First of all, on offense, the Bucs are number 1 in the league on third down offense. Compare that to Atlanta's third down defense, number 32, last in the league. And same thing on offense for the Bucs when talking about pressure. We got, obviously, an offensive line that's got things pretty well shored up. Bucs have the lowest sack percentage of any offense in the league. The Atlanta defense, the lowest sack percentage of any defensive front in the league. So, again, all these stats point to positive things. I'm not sure if I'd lay the 11 or not, but, you know, looking back, like, thought the Bucs would be just fine against the Redskins, and when it didn't happen, it was a really disappointing loss. Then they came back, and I thought they'd be fine against the Giants, and they were. And then that Colts game, I mean, I'll tell you what, turnovers made the difference there because I was utterly disgusted a week ago, right about halftime. I remember the Bucs before the half, I can't remember the exact score. I think they were down, 14-10 or something like that? I think they were down 17. Yeah, they were down 17-14. And they had the ball, and I was like, cool. We had just gotten a turnover. And I was like, the Bucs can probably maybe get a field goal here and just tie this up, you know, real quick before the half. They ended up going 3-and-out, didn't take any time off the clock. And not only that, they let the Colts take that ball with under 90 seconds left and go all the way down and score. And instead of me thinking it was going to be 17-17 at halftime, it ended up being 24-14. And I was pissed. Like, I was probably the most down I was on the Bucs at any point this season. And yet in the second half, they got a couple of big turnovers, and those can always turn the tide. And the offense, to its credit, went down and did its thing, and they get the 38-31 win in Indianapolis. So that was a nice comeback win there. And one, you know, sometimes you have those games every year that you feel like you should have won and you didn't, and you kind of mentally adjust for those when you think of your record. It's like, oh man, we're 8-4, but we really should be 9-3. But you never adjust the other way for the ones that you didn't think you were going to win, that you won anyway. You always just assume those were wins anyhow. But that was a good comeback win. Like, that was one where at halftime, after they gave up that late touchdown drive right before the half, I wrote the Bucs off, thought it wasn't their day, and they came back and got a nice win there. So now we go up against, again, you have 4 games left out of these 6 against teams that are simply not very good. And at worst, you should maybe go 3-1, but really, you don't need to be losing to the Jets, obviously. And the Falcons, they've already beat. Although the Falcons game, the first one, they won, 48-25. That was a close game. That was 28-25 in the fourth quarter. And the Bucs got an insurance touchdown. Then they got those 2 pick sixes from Mike Edwards, as it stands. And that ended up, you know, spreading it out. But it's not a gimme. It's not a gimme. And, you know, underdogs have been doing well overall this year in the NFL. If you're looking for betting information, by the way, on that, because I was looking at this, I've been mentioning this every few weeks on the show. It's just been one of those years. Favorites are only 76-99-1 against the spread. Now, these are all against the spread overall in the NFL this year. And that's 43%, so 57% of the time. If you did nothing but just bet the underdog every game this year, you would be well ahead the pace of even a professional gambler and be doing quite well for yourself. Same thing with road teams. Road teams are 101-78-1 against the spread. And that is a clip of 56%, which is, again, well ahead of professional gamblers. But the biggest, and we don't have this week, but the biggest single, I guess, scenario that you look for as a better this year, assuming it keeps up, but through 12 weeks, road underdogs, road teams getting points, have been absolutely on fire this year. They are 64-41-1. That is a 61% clip. So I know, like, I'm in a picks league with my friends, and I'm doing terribly. And we pick every single game every week against the spread. And we have a weekly pot. Then we also keep track of the season-long standings and an even bigger pot for that. I usually do pretty well in it. This year, I'm like 10th place out of 13 people. And if I had just sat there and just taken nothing but road favorites, or excuse me, road underdogs, anytime a road team's getting points, if I had just done that, I'd be like 15 or 20 games ahead of what I am right now trying to actually think about this stuff and thinking I know anything about any of this stuff, which is the first mistake most gamblers make. But as it is, this week I did that. I went and didn't even look at the matchups, just clicked on every road underdog and took them. And I promise you this week road underdogs will go something like 2-6 now against the spread for me having done that. Because it's just been that type of a year. But anyway, it's Bucks-Falcons on Sunday at 1 in Atlanta. Actually, it's the day that same field the day before will be the SEC Championship in Atlanta. A great day of college football on Saturday, as all 10 conferences have their conference championship games. A couple of them are on Friday, then the other 8 are on Saturday, and that gives way to a big weekend in the NFL, and I'm looking forward to all of it. So, folks, forget about all this distraction stuff right now. We got actual football on Sunday. We can enjoy that, and then we'll get back next week and get ready for another one. And either way, the Bucks should have enough in the tank to beat a lowly Falcons team. Every time you say something like that, then you end up getting surprised. So maybe I shouldn't use the word lowly. But this is a game with the Bucks as an 11-point favorite that, like so many other ones this year, you would expect them to have some success in, given the matchups. We'll see if that actually bears out or not on Sunday. In the meantime, have a great weekend. Get everything done you need to get done. Gonna be a lot of football. This is the last really full weekend of football as far as college and pro back-to-back, because then we start doing bowl games and they're scattered all over the place. So in a little bit of a way, even though it's not the end of football by any means, I'm a little bit sad because I love the weekends with everything going all the way through. Good luck, by the way, to my alma mater, Jesuit High School. They play in the state semifinal. Good luck to Tampa Bay Tech as well and Berkeley Prep. Tampa teams all playing for a bid in the state championship game at the high school level. I'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes. Thanks to all of you for listening. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.